Okay, well, let's pray and ask God's help. It's his book, so we'd better ask him to explain it to us, eh? Almighty God, we're so grateful. Lord, you have given us your word. You've spoken, Lord. And Lord, we realize that to understand it, we do need your help. Lord, come in the work of your Holy Spirit in our minds and our hearts to understand and grasp your truths that you want us to learn and to live by. Lord, the truth that sets people free, that enables us to understand and see things as they really are, and to walk in the light in fellowship with you. So Lord, bless us and help us, and thank you for your word. It's yours, Lord. We give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in the letter of John. Dear John, the man who describes himself as the elder in some of his letters, an old man by now, getting on in years, and he's writing to help his, calls them his children. They're the ones that he's led to the Lord. He calls them his children because he cares about them, and he's writing to protect them because there's some dangers out there. The dangers were false teaching coming around and leading them off the right path into the wrong path. Particularly a couple of groups were the Gnostics, so they weren't quite there yet, but the Gnostics were on the make. You know what Gnostics are? You met a Gnostic lately? Gnostic means they know. They're the ones that have the secret inside information. They're the secrecy cult, yeah? The Gnostics, right? And they say, we know. And actually, what was it? The Scientologists worked on that one. Originally, you know, we know all the secrets, and what we'll do is we'll let you in on it if you pay us. That's the way it worked, wasn't it? Yes. But anyway, you get the idea. There were the Gnostics. There were also the others that were people that denied that Jesus had really become human. They accepted that Jesus was a person, but they didn't accept that he'd become human, or alternatively, that Jesus never really died as God's Son. God's Son left him before he died. You see, all those kind of teachings that were about. So, John's writing to make sure they've got it right. Yeah? So, we've got to four, my apologies. Chapter 4 of 1 John. And he introduces chapter 4 by the end of chapter 3. It's logical, isn't it? He introduces this because he says, to those who obey his commands, live in him. And he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. We know that we belong to God because his Spirit has come into our hearts and our lives and turned the light on. Yeah? We know, right? And that's in contrast to these Gnostics who claim they know but won't let anybody else know. Yeah. And then, having mentioned the word of the Spirit, he comes into it, introduces it to chapter 4. Dear friends, let's just read this little section. We'll see how we get on with it. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God, and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Well, that sounds all very technical, doesn't it? There's a song in there that we should have sung, isn't it? He that is in you, he that is in us, yeah? So, dear friends, John's calling them friends, as well as children. And that's one of the lovely things about a true leader, you could say. John is one of the leaders of the church, the last remaining apostle. By this time, the others have all been martyred. So it would seem from what we know of church history. And yet, he doesn't come all high and mighty, does he? He's just one of us, dear friends, you know, fellow believer following the Lord. And he challenges them. He says, don't believe every spirit. And he's talking about the false prophets that had come and the people that were teaching error, teaching false teachings, yeah? Don't believe everyone, But test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out. So he's encouraging us to use our brains. You got that? Don't believe everything they say. And that's that. You write that in capital letters now, right? Particularly in the news, of course, right? There's a thing called fake news nowadays, you know. It's been around a long time, I can assure you. But he says, don't believe everything that people say. You have to test it out. Right. So, how do you test them? How do you test them out? How do you test what's true and what isn't?
By their works.
Right. By their works. Does it show in their lives? That's one of the tests, yeah? John could say, if they don't live the way God says we should live, they don't belong to God. Simple. That's one of them, yes. The other is, you test it by what God said in his word. Right. There's a challenge, and he mentions this a little later on, yeah? Okay, that's one of the things. But supposing, Moses had to deal with this a long time ago, you know. Moses said, supposing a prophet comes along and he starts making predictions and he does some wonderful signs and wonders, some supernatural stuff. He's not denying there isn't supernatural stuff. But he says, he comes along and he does all these things. How do you know he's a genuine prophet?
If what he says happens.
If what he says happens, that's a test. Right, that's one of the things, right. But then he says, but supposing what he does say happens, and then he says, come and follow other gods. He's a false prophet. Right. That's how you check it out, yeah? So basically it's not just what they do, but where they're leading. And you need discernment for that to be able to see. Where is it leading you to? Yes?
Well, prophets prophesying, he's not just prophesying next week, is he?
No.
It's years.
Could be years ahead. You've got problems testing that.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But normally, some of the Old Testament genuine prophets, they spoke about the present, which gave them credibility to speak about the future.
Yeah.
But in the apostles' day, when Jesus sent out the missionaries of the apostles, Paul, we read in Acts some time ago, went around and preached the good news to people, and some of them believed and some of them didn't. Right? But he went to one place in particular where he said they were of more noble character than the people up north. Where did he go to? Berea was where he went. Right? He described the Bereans as people of noble character. And he said, what did they do? Luke describes them. What did the Bereans do? Search the Bible to check out whether Paul was saying what accorded with what they knew the Bible taught. Yeah? Right? So you check what's being taught against the Bible's truths, what the Bible teaches, yeah? And was Paul upset by that? No. He was delighted at that. Here are people who were testing out what he's saying to see if it was true. And if the Spirit of God's given them some light, they'll say, ah, he's right. Now then, let's take it on a little bit further, how you test the spirits. And this is one where the Holy Spirit helps you. Jesus, when he was talking about being the good shepherd, yeah? Right? One of the things he says about the good shepherd is, my sheep recognize my voice, right? And he doesn't mean that they could, I mean, that's how it is, you know, with the little baby cries, you know it's yours or not, don't you? Yeah, that's what they, that's wonderful, but Jesus isn't meaning that you recognize the sound of their voice. What he's saying is, my sheep recognize my voice, what I'm saying rings true. Yeah, so they get it and realize it's from me. And John is then, in this letter, he just said it. He says, if they listen to us, they're from God. Yes? But if they don't, they're of the world. And Jesus said the same. The world doesn't listen to me, but my people will understand and get it, because they're my people. Right? So, that's how we start testing the spirits. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Right, okay. So, false prophets. Danger, you see. Wolves in sheep's clothing, that kind of thing, yes? Right? And he says they've gone out into the world. What does it mean, gone out into the world? Because John uses the word world in different ways. The context tells you what he's meaning by. We'll see that he talks about the world, meaning the system that's hostile to God, keeps God out. That's the world, right? But then he uses the word world here. They've gone out into the world, meaning the natural geographical world. They've spread out. Right? They weren't just turning up in one place.
They're popping up all over the place.
Right. So they've gone out and spread out. So the lies are spreading is what he's getting at. Yeah.
So many have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Because they claim to be speaking by God's Spirit, you see. They say, this is what God says. Right? And he says, this is how you can tell. Right? And there, and this is one of the instances anyway. He says this. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Right? Now remember, he's talking about some of these false teachers that was, it's called Doceticism. Have you heard of that? Doceticism means it looks like it. Right? They were saying that Jesus looks like the Son of God, but really what happened was that the Spirit came on him at his baptism and left him before he went back, before he died. Right? So Jesus only looked like the Son of God. Right? And so what John is saying is, those that deny that Jesus has come in the flesh, real human being, but the Son of God as well, right? If they don't say that, they're false. Right? It's what you think of Jesus, he's saying. It really counts. What do you think of Jesus is the key issue, right? So, that's that little bit. He says, so, this is how you recognize every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Yeah? So he says there's the opposite. If they say he's not come from God, they're not. If they say that Jesus isn't involved in this whole thing, then they're not from God. Right. But this is the spirit of Antichrist that you've heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. So John is talking about the Antichrist that's coming. He doesn't know exactly when the Antichrist comes, and it's a long time coming. We're still waiting for him. Yeah? But the Antichrist ideas, the Antichrist ways, the Antichrist influence and spirit are active even in John's day and still. And what does he mean by Antichrist? Anti can mean against. Right? We have two concepts of this one, which is really important here. There are those that are hostile to Jesus. That could be Antichrist. So there are those who stand against Jesus, like the Doceticists. Yeah? Right? They stand against Jesus, isn't Jesus who Jesus claimed to be. Right? But then, anti can mean also in the place of. Substitute Christ. Right? So you can have one that's hostile in that sense, but also another attitude that says, I am it. Yeah. Jesus says, many false messiahs will come, claiming to be me. They are antichrists in the sense they're substitutes. They're not the real thing. So he says, you've got to watch out for them, right? These are the antichrists who are already around. It's a bit of a tightrope to walk on, isn't it? How do you know you've got it right? Well, Johnny's trying to explain these things, right? So that he says, the big test, one of the big tests is how you live. Yeah? How you relate to fellow believers. Yeah, that's really, really important. That's one of the tests he's getting at. Right, let's move on then. You, dear children. Oh, sorry, I've got it, yeah. This is the spirit of Antichrist you've heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. What world is he talking about there?
This one. The job. Is that the
job? Geographic. It's all around, yes. I think that's the general idea. The geographic, but it sort of blends into the state where it's hostile to God as well. Yeah? All right, let's move on. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. How about that? Now then, that's a very wonderful verse, right? You've overcome them. You're winners. Do you feel like a winner? Or you feel like you're in the battle? Yeah. Overcomers have to overcome. Do you realise that? Yeah. You're not handed this on a plate, you know. It's a battle to be fought. Yeah. But it says you've overcome them because, why? Because you're so smart. You've got it all figured out? No. It's because God's at work in you. Right? He says, the one who is in you. Who's the one who is in you? The Holy Spirit, which brings the presence of Jesus. Paul could say, what's the hope of glory?
The hope of getting to heaven.
Yes, but he uses a phrase. There's something is the hope of glory. Christ in you.
Yeah.
Christ dwelling in you. He does that by his Holy Spirit, yes? Christ dwelling, he said, I will send you another comforter. And we're getting technical now. He uses a different word for another. You can have, in Greek, you knew this, didn't you? In Greek, there are two words for another. Yeah? There are two words for another. One means another of the same kind, and another one means another type that's different. So, I'll give you the word. If I gave you two apples, right, and then I gave you another apple, right, that's one word in Greek, that's homeos, right? If I gave you two apples, and I gave you a pear, I give you another piece of fruit, right, the word then is heteros. Another is a different word, right? When Jesus says, I'm going to send you another comforter, which word does he use? The same or different?
Same.
Yeah. He says, I'm going to send you someone just like me. Yeah. Right? That's the Holy Spirit who brings the revelation of Jesus. So it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? So, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Now then, who's the one in the world? Satan is the one in the world. And what world is he talking about there? The spiritual world. Yes? The dimension that keeps God out. Right? Yeah? So the one who is in you, that's the Lord, is greater than the one who is in the world, Satan. Why is he greater?
Because he is.
Very good answer.
Because he's conquered.
Because he's conquered, yes? Right, right. Right, he's conquered, he's defeated him, but...
Jesus is the Son of God,
and Satan is an angel. What's the difference between God and Satan? Because there's a religion out, it's the Zoroastrianisms and all that sort of thing.
God made Satan.
Yes. But he didn't make him as Satan.
No. He's a fallen angel.
Let's put it this way, Satan is a creature. Doesn't matter, he's a creature. He's not the creator. Right? The creator made the creature that is now called Satan. Right? And part of that is that God has characteristics, attributes that Satan can never have. He can't be almighty. He can't be in the same place at once. He can't know everything. Those are omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence. Yeah? Thought he might have a few Latin words as well. This is brain, you know? Yeah. But anyway, those are the qualities that God bears, and he is the one who's living in you. Not that you are almighty, all-knowing and all-powerful, but you've got somebody in there who can help you like that, yeah? Mm-hmm. Right? So the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world, so you can lick him. Not in your own strength, remember. You must remember that. It's not you that does the fighting, ultimately. You are the agent through which God does the fighting. You cooperate with him, willingly, yes? But it's God who gives you the power to do it. Right? Okay? So, they are, and these are these false teachers again, they are from the world. What world is he talking about? They are from the world. The natural world? Or the spiritual world? The world system, the spiritual world. They are from the world. That's where they live. That's their nature. Jesus says, you are not of the world. Right? And he's using the word like John's using it here. Yeah. Aren't we of the world? We live on planet Earth, don't we? But Jesus doesn't mean you live on planet Earth. He's saying is you don't live in the hostile world that's anti-God. Right, okay, that's it. In the world, but not of. We're in the world, but not of the world. So John says, they are of the world, that's the way they think. Keep God out. Don't call me God, I'll call you. Right? Yeah. Right? Right, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the viewpoint of the world. So these are the false teachers. They talk the way the world talks.
That's what you
mean. Right? They talk the way the world talks, and therefore the world listens to them. Jesus said the same thing to his disciples. He's talking about those that were hostile to him. He says, they won't listen, they don't understand, they don't get it, because they're not my people. Right? They live in a different atmosphere, breathe different air. So don't be surprised they don't understand it, yeah? But they understand themselves. They talk to each other, they have their own little plans and their nasty little ways, yeah? But they're not my people. Yeah? So he says here, they are of the world and the world listens to them. Yeah? Sad, isn't it? Right? We are from God. That's quite a claim, isn't it? Yeah? How does he know? How do you know he's from God? John's laid out his credentials in the first chapter. Remember what he says? He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We tell you what we've seen and heard. He says, we're not making this up. This is real. So we are from God. God's picked us, he's chosen us, called us to be his servants. Yeah? We are from God, and therefore, he says, whoever knows God listens to us. How about that? He's just repeating what Jesus says.
Yeah.
Spiritual people understand spiritual truths. Yeah? Non-spiritual people don't get it. You could have a degree in theology. Honestly. I saw this with some Sunday school papers I marked many, many years ago. I did it as a favour for a Sunday school community out in the Fens. And there were basic questions, like just history and the accounts of what the Bible taught. Right? And then there were some questions that required spiritual insight. You know, you needed to know about God, to have a personal relationship with him, to understand the question and to answer it. And when you looked at the answers on the papers, you could tell a mile off who got it and who hadn't. And I'm not saying any of them were thick. I'm not saying any of them were stupid. But there was something that they just didn't get because they hadn't got him. Paul says that the same. He says, where's the wise man, the philosopher of this world, you know? He says, God's made it so that the smart alecks don't get it, and the dumbos like us do. And I'm saying you're a dumbo, but you know what I mean. Yeah? Yeah? But that's the... God's amazing. He really is, isn't he? He can make it so that a child as big as this can get it, and yet a professor doesn't. Now, I'm not mocking learning and academia or anything else, you know? Yeah? There have been some good people who've used their brains well. But if you think you can figure out what God's like by using your brains, you're not going to get there. God shows you and reveals it to you. Let me take you to Peter. When Jesus asked him that real crunch question, Peter, who do people say I am? And he said, well, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some say one of the prophets. Right? So he's got him thinking about it. He says, but what about you, Peter? Who do you say I am? Peter comes out, he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And what does Jesus say to him? Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. In other words, you didn't get this all by your own clever little self, Peter. God showed you it. And that's the way it works. If you've got the message, if you've understood, you're a walking miracle. God has done something in you. Now, don't take it for granted. God has done something tremendous in you to help you to see and understand. Yeah? So, whoever listens to them, which is John, the apostles, the teaching of the apostles, whoever listens to us, whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood, right? So the Holy Spirit brings in truth, and he backs it, it matches with what's been given in the Word. Yeah? Right. So that's the text, yeah? Now then, just one last little bit of the chapter. Are we alright? You only just cope with this one? Right, you cope with this one, yeah? Because this is good. That was all sort of finding out the problems. Well, now we've sorted the problems out, we can go on to dear friends, is there again, eh? Let us love one another. That's how the Spirit works. He begins to change the way you live and how you relate to others. Yeah? Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. How about that? Yeah? Real love, genuine, caring about somebody else, in contrast to the false teachers. Who do the false teachers love?
Themselves.
Yeah. Right. And those that have been touched by the Lord start thinking about other people, as well as themselves, of course. And love comes from God. He's the source of the love that you have. Yeah? And you'll need that when you come to meet some of the brothers and sisters that God's chosen for you. That's right, isn't it? Yeah? He's chosen some interesting brothers and sisters for you to love, and the only way you're going to love them is with God's love flowing through you. Corrie ten Boom. You've heard of Corrie ten Boom. A beautiful story with Corrie. She was in the concentration camp of, I believe it was Ravensbrück. Her sister died, and they were treated abysmally by the camp officers there. And some years later, she was, I believe it was in Germany, she was at a Christian conference, and during the time there, I think she might have spoken or something as well. She was quite a lady, was Corrie. But after the meeting, a lady came up to her to say hello and have a word with her. And Corrie recognised her as one of the staff at the concentration
camp. Wasn't she?
One of the warders. She recognised her as one of the staff at the concentration camp. By the grace of God, this woman had seen the folly of her ways, the sin that she'd done. She'd asked God's forgiveness, she'd repented of her sin and asked Jesus to come into her life, and as a result, she became a Christian. And she goes up to Corrie ten Boom, and she stretches out her hand to say, "Please accept my sincerest, humble apologies. I am so ashamed of what I did to you and others. Please forgive me." She stretched out her hand. And you know what Corrie remembered? You know what Corrie said? She was paralysed. She could not move. She could not lift her hand. She could not even go. Because of all, it just brought back everything. Yeah. And she said, as she stood there, she prayed, "Lord, I can't love this woman. I can't love her. But you can. Help me." And she said, she stretched out her hand and nearly shook her arm off. Yeah. It's God in us. You can't do it on your own. And he's saying that. Let us love one another, because love comes from God, right? Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. That's God's been at work in people. And I can say that's true also of people who aren't Christians. That sounds strange. I'm not saying they've been born again, but they're made in God's image. And there are times when God's image shines through, in spite of all the damage that sin's done. So there are some nice, good, kind people. I'm not saying they're believers, right? It's called, the technical term, common grace. Yeah? There's special grace, which God puts into our lives. Yeah? But there is common grace. There are nice people out there, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yes? It's amazing what some people do. And when they do that, it's God at work in some way or another, right? Not that they may even acknowledge that. Yes? But people are nice because God's made them and created them that way. Right? So, anyway, where we are. God is love. Let's have a look. Whoever does not love, this is verse 8, this is one of the most amazing verses in the whole of the Bible. Whoever does not love does not know God. He's really saying, if you're not giving out, you're not experiencing this love flowing in you and through you, you don't know God. Right? It's not real. You can know a lot about God. That's what these false teachers, they could tick all the boxes on their theology list, you know, what God is like. Yeah? Well, most of it anyway, yeah? So they could know about God, but they don't know God. That's different. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah? It's personal. It's an experience. It's a relationship that John's talking about. And he says, if you don't love, you don't know God. Right? There's a test for you in there. Right? And he says, the reason that's true is because God is love. Now, how about that? You won't read that in any other religion. God is love. He's the source of love. He is, in his nature, love. He is the one that, out of love, created you. He made the world. He made people that they could know him. Right? God is a God who loves. Is that amazing? Yeah, he is love. He's the source of it all. Right? And so, you know, if you have a relationship with God, you're going to start finding this love bouncing off you as well, aren't you? So, God is love. John uses these phrases quite interestingly. He said earlier on, God is light. Meaning that he's pure, he's perfectly good, he's holy and righteous and just, yeah? Right? That's good. It's good to know that God's not wrong or evil or anything else like that. It's good to know that. But that's a step away from saying God is love. Because that's a relationship. You can appreciate the light without having the light in you.
Yeah.
But to have love, well, that's different. God is love. Right. Then he says, and this is how God showed his love among us. So how did God demonstrate his love? He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. How about that? That's how love came. Yeah? That's how God shows his love. He sent his one and only the only begotten, right? The one, this only his son, the rest of us are adopted, right? His one and only son, he sent into the world that we might live through him. And when John says he sent, that covers living in a world that's poisonous, that hated him, that put him on a cross and rejected him. He did all of that. He sent his son in order to save us from our sins. Because Jesus has become our substitute. Yeah? So that's how God shows his love. He demonstrates it in that. Right? That he sent his son. Now we've got it next bit here. He says, he sent his son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Definition of love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. It's not that we love God. We should. We must. We can, by the grace of God. Right? But real love is God's love for you. And that's what gives you the love for him. Yeah? It's amazing. You know, you wouldn't live. You wouldn't be living in this issue, place of love unless God had poured something into you. It's astounding. Yeah? So, this is love. That, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Right? Yeah? He's not saying you don't love God. But he's saying, if it comes to comparing God's love and yours, they're in a different league. Yes. Yeah. And he loves you so, so much. Yeah? And he says, he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Well, there's a word for you. Yes. I'll give you the word, propitiation. Have you heard of propitiation? Well, somehow, it's got it in yours, yes? Yeah. Propitiation. What does propitiation mean? The NIV has translated it as an atoning sacrifice. Which is a good translation, right? But there's a little bit we could add to it. Some would like to translate it. I'm sorry I'm getting technical, but this is really important, this bit. Some would translate it, he sent his son as an expiation for our sin. Right? Do you know what an expiation is? No. Well, let me explain. Yes, an expiation means it covers your sin, which is good, right? Right? That's all it means. Just covers your sin, which is true, right? Propitiation. Have you heard the word propitious? That's an English word. It means it's looking good. If it's a propitious situation, it means it's looking good, just like your house. Yeah, looking good. Yeah, propitious. Well, propitiation is covering your sins and turning away God's anger, because he's done the job, right? It turns away God's anger because he's covered the sin. Yeah, that's really important. God was angry at sin, and he forgives you. That is astounding. And it's all because of Jesus. Yeah? You get it? Right. Good. Next then, please. It goes on.
Dear friends.
Oh, we're back to friends again. Since God so loved us, right now, John's very practical. He says, if God's done all that for you, what are you going to do about it? Yeah? Since, dear friends, God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. He's talking about fellow believers there. I mean, it spills over into the neighbours and the people you meet with and so on. Yeah? But he's talking about loving one another in terms of our fellow Christians in established, yeah? Yeah? Right? We ought to love one another. And then he says this, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. No one's ever seen God. Is that right?
Yeah.
Why?
I've seen Jesus.
Yeah, but why can't you see God? His spirit. Yes, God, his spirit, yes. So, no one has ever seen God. But John is saying is, nobody's ever seen God, but they can see his footprints. Yeah? Jesus. Right? Jesus is the revelation of God. If you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. That's the point he's getting at, yeah? Yeah? And he says, if that's the case, right? Yeah? No one can see God, but you can show him. Because Jesus in you can show him. Right? That's not to say your little God's walking around. No. But God can work in you and through you to shine Jesus out of you to let them see what God is like. You are the little lighthouse. Did you know that? You remember the children's song?
Yeah.
Jesus bids us shine with a clear, bright light, like a little candle burning in the night. Did you know that? Did you know? Oh, man, you missed out. Oh, they don't write them like that now. No. Right. But that's what John is getting at. Is people can see the reality of your relationship with God if they see you loving one another. Jesus says, by this will the world know that you are my disciples, because you love one another. John's just spelling out what Jesus says, really. Yeah? Right, so, we know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? We live in him and he in us. Now, didn't Jesus say that about him and the Father? I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or Jesus says, if you become my people, I live in you and you live in me. He's talking about a joining. There's a link that's going on there, yeah? Right? And we know it because he's given us of his Spirit. Interesting that the phrase there, I don't know, what does King James say there? He's given us of his Spirit, does he say that?
Yes.
Well, that's the right phrasing. He has given us of his Spirit. What does that mean? He's given us of his Spirit.
Same family. Family relationship.
Yes.
It's a belonging.
It's a belonging, but no. No, what I'm getting... No. What I'm after is this. Yeah? Of means you get a sample. I give you a bit of my tea, or whatever it is, you get a sip, you get a sample, right? It's more than enough, if I've got a big drum like this of tea, and I give you a cupful, it's enough for you, right? And I'm going to be, that's the same, please forgive me, Lord, the Holy Spirit, the big drum, right? Yeah? He comes along and fills your little bucket, right? He's not any less, but you've got a sample of him. We receive of the Spirit, each of us. But there was one person that didn't get the sample, he got the lot. Jesus. He says he did not receive the Spirit by measure. Right? When the Spirit came down on him, the Spirit came full stop. Yeah? Whereas for you and me, we've got enough with the Holy Spirit in us, I can assure you. Yeah? But he's given us of his Spirit. It's good to know. Yes? Right? Right. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Isn't that wonderful? We've seen him. We know it, yeah? And we testify. We're witnesses about this, yeah? And he says that the Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Isn't that lovely, eh? What's the world mean then? It's that lot out there, yes. He sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. So that means everybody's saved, doesn't it?
No.
That's the right. Jesus has come to be able to save anybody, everybody who's willing to have him. You know, willing to receive his forgiveness. Willing to come to him. Jesus won't turn them away. They could be the worst rotters on earth. And if they genuinely come to the Lord, he'll accept them. Now that... You might find that hard to accept, you know, because they become your brother or sister, and they might be a nasty piece of work to start with, right? But the Lord's changing them, yeah? But it's true, anybody can come to the Lord Jesus, and if they do, the Lord will accept them.
But it's on the cross, wasn't it? Yeah. I forgive them, they don't know what they do.
Yeah. And that was the people that were killing him at the time, yes?
And the thief.
And the Lord, yeah, and the thief on the cross, he accepted.
Yeah.
There were two thieves. One said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The other thief says, if you're Jesus, or if you're the Messiah, get us out of this thing. Yeah? The other bloke says, shut up, we're here because we deserve it. He doesn't. Yeah? And Jesus turned to him, today, you will be with me in paradise. What about the other guy? He's lost. Yeah. So, you've got to come to him. That's the point. That's right. Okay. He sent him to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Isn't that interesting, yeah? He said, that's the test for these early teachers. If they accept that Jesus is the Son of God, right, then God's at work in them. Right. Oh, bless you. Have a good cough.
It's an age thing.
It's an age thing. Oh, yeah, it's coming up, isn't it, yeah? Okay, so if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, remember some of these false teachers were saying that he isn't. Right? So John is saying, is if they don't acknowledge that, then they're not believers, right? But if you do, then... And so we know, nearly there, we know and rely on the love God has for us. Yeah? So, we're trusting in God. We know him, and then we rely on... You know, that's another word for faith. Did you know that? To rely on somebody. Yeah. You believe in them. You're depending on them. You're trusting them. And the word faith is, I've got a lot to do with trust rather than information. Yeah? Right, so, God is love. You got that?
Yeah.
Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Right, so there's this lovely communion we could use, working together. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Right? So as this love begins to permeate our lives and we live it out, then you grow in confidence, right, with God. Yeah? You realise he's your Heavenly Father, you know his love, and you can come before him knowing that you're forgiven. That's good. Yeah? You come with confidence. Yeah. Eh? And we can have confidence on the day of judgment. Right. Did you know there's a judgment day coming? Yeah. Yes. And who's going to be the judge? Jesus is the judge. Paul says, God has appointed a day when he'll judge the world in righteousness, and he set the man up to do the job, his son. And he proves it by raising him from the dead. Right? So, Jesus is the judge. Right? So, when you come before the judge, and he looks at you and he says, don't I know you? I hope you'll be able to say, yes you do, Lord. Yeah. Because if you've got the judge on your side, he'll say, well, there's no charges against you, they've already been cleared. Yeah? So we can come with confidence before God, because we know we're forgiven. That's what it's about, yeah? So, are you getting more confident about meeting with your Maker? Yes. Just remember, it's not you, it's what he's done that makes the difference, right? Right. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like him. That's amazing, isn't it? To be like who? Like the Lord Jesus, yeah, we like him. John says earlier on, as I said, he repeats himself. He says, whoever claims to be one of his followers should walk like he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And he doesn't mean to say that you measure the same distance as you walk along. It's how you live. That's what he's saying. Yeah? Right. Now, this is interesting. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. There's no fear in love. Right. That's what he's getting at. What he's getting at there is that at first, you know, you might be frightened of God. You should be in some ways, because if you come as a sinner, you're in trouble. Yeah? But when you come to see that God is willing to forgive your sins, then some of the fear abates and you start loving him. Right? And the more you love him, the more you realise you don't need to be afraid. You respect him, yes? But there's not that punishment side of the thing, yeah? So as your love grows, your fear should get less.
Your wife gave a good verse yesterday. Can I just read it?
Yeah.
It was in Romans 4.
Yeah.
And it said, blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven,
yeah,
whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him.
Amen. Yeah. He won't count it against you because it's counted on Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blessed is the man. And the word blessed means happy. Mm. You can be happy about that. Yes. Which is good. Okay. Wonderful. Right. So, there we are. We've nearly finished here. No fear. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Well, are we perfect in love yet? So you might have an odd day when you feel, ooh dear, right? Yeah? Right? It comes, doesn't it? It happens. You're not perfect yet. But God's working in us, right? And you should be less fearful now than you were when you started. Yeah, by the grace of God. Yeah. Right, so, we love because he first loved us. Yeah, that's a great verse, yeah. He first loved us. Yeah. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, and he says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. You can't do it. Yeah? Hate and love don't live together in the same house. Yeah? So it can't be in the same heart. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. See, he was talking about you've never seen God, but you see God at work in you. Right? And he's using it the other way around in a sense now. My saying is that anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he hasn't seen. So, if you love your brother, you're loving what God's doing in him or her. Right? You're seeing God at work in them, and you love them because God's given you love for them. It's his love working in them, right? So, and he's really saying is, don't tell me you're a follower of Jesus if you don't love your fellow brothers and sisters. Because, yeah, you say, I love God, but I can't stand people. He's not going to wash, yeah? Won't work. If I love God, then he's got to work his way out into how we relate to each other. Big challenge, eh? Right. Now then, and he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. I rest my case there, but I must say this. He has given us what? Yes, but he's given us a command. Right. Let me tell you, dear friends, that is not an option. Yeah? It's not take it or leave it. It's a command. Do you keep God's commands? By the grace of God. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, lots of people say, well, we don't keep commandments now, do we? I'm afraid you've got it wrong if you don't know that what Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands. His command is, you love your brothers. That covers most of them, doesn't it? I mean, you think about it, that covers more than half of the Ten Commandments. Think about it. To love your brother, because the Ten Commandments, Jesus said, and he says it in the Old Testament as well, can be summed up in two phrases. The Ten Commandments can be summed up by two commands. One is, love God. The second is, love your neighbour. Right? So, John's spelling it out by saying is that you're to love one another. You keep those commands, you fulfil the commandments by loving. Paul says it in Romans as well. Yeah? Love is the fulfilling of the law. Right? The law, good news, won't condemn you now. Jesus has paid the penalty. But he's still there to guide you. I've used this illustration, I will close with this. I said I'd finished, didn't I? There he goes, yeah. Right. This is really, really good. Well, I think it's a good one. It's a bit of a medieval construction though. Right. Now, here we have a cannon. Right? We've got a cannon, can you see it there? Yeah. Right? And we've got a big cannonball there. Right? And we've got a drum of gunpowder. Right. Now then, if I put that, now you're the cannonball. Right? You're the cannonball. I put you in, before we get there. I put the cannonball underneath the gunpowder. Right? And set fire to the gunpowder. What happens to the cannonball? Stays where it is. Right. Now, what do I need to do? I need to put the gunpowder in the cannon, right? And then put the cannonball in the cannon, and when I set fire to it, the cannon guides the power of the powder to behind the ball and shoots it off. Yeah. Right. Now then, lesson here. This is the practical bit about it, eh? You are the cannonball. Right? The cannon is God's word. Right? His commands. Right? What is the gunpowder?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Right? So, the Holy Spirit, without the word, all you do get is a lot of puff of smoke. Right? But, if you have the Holy Spirit with the word of God, your life is going somewhere. Yes? You got it? So, you'll be a big shot from now on. Yes. The point being is, we need his commands, and boy do we need his power. Yeah. Put the two together, and we're going somewhere, by the grace of God. Eh? Yeah. Right, let's just pray. We'll call that it, yeah? Oh, Father, we thank you. You love us. For you are the God from which love flows. O Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus, that we can know you through him. And thank you for the Holy Spirit, who brings the light and life of Jesus into our hearts. O Lord, we're so grateful for what you've done for us. And we pray, Lord, that we may love you, and in loving you, love our brothers and sisters, and show to the people around about us, Lord, that you've done something for us that's amazing. And Lord, what you can do for us, you can do for them too. Lord, we're so grateful. And we thank you, Lord, for your servant, John, that, Lord, shows us how to check things out, how to test things out. Give us the discernment we need. Lord, help us to live it out in reality. We bless you, Lord, and thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.